Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
It's interesting tonight that as we come together, as we worship our Lord and we open up our hearts, how that God just pulls everything together and reminds us that our worship is a time when we listen to God and when God speaks to us, and that it's not just words we're singing. But I appreciate so much Kevin showing us and leading us to really see what we're saying, to really grasp the words that we're singing in our worship and our praise. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through music. It's through these words. It's through our heart for God and through seeking Him. And really, when we get into our message today, tonight, it's exactly what God is saying to us through the book of James. I don't know how familiar you are with the book of James, but it's one of the most practical and really one of the great books of the Bible as far as living out the Christian life. You may or may not know who James was. When we speak of James, the writer of this letter, of this epistle, we're not talking about the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. That's not who this James is. This James is the brother of Jesus. This James is the same James who, with some of his other brothers, tried to get Jesus away from the crowds at one time because they thought that Jesus was crazy. This is the same brother who at times in his life felt embarrassed because of Jesus. This was the same brother who had doubts whether or not Jesus was truly the Messiah at times in his life. But then he saw the cross. Then he saw the resurrection. Then he saw the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And James himself will testify to you, I know that Jesus is the Christ. He was a doubter. Now he's a believer. In fact, in our text today, in James, the first chapter, in verses 18 through 20, James gives us two emphatic declarations about our life, of who we are, concerning Jesus Christ. He first talks about the new birth in verse 18. He talks about the fact that when we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, that is a life-changing experience in our life. It is an essential part of our life as believers in Christ. He says there that He, speaking of Jesus, chose to give us birth through the Word of Truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. He talks first of all about and declares about the new birth that every child of God experiences. Second, he talks about our behavior as children of God. He talks about the lifestyle that we have, the way that we live. And if you'll read through the whole book of James, only five chapters, but if you'll read through the whole book of James and allow God to speak to you through that, He will lay out for you how you should live your life on a daily basis. And that's the reason that I titled this message tonight, God's advice for His children. God has advice for us. and then to enable us to live for Him and to be the testimony and the witness for Him in our daily walk with Him. Now, it's interesting, as I have looked over and experienced today, both in services this morning, in our discipleship class a little bit before our worship time, and now as we come into worship tonight, how that God is pulling everything together, giving us insight and wisdom in living the Christian life. Can I tell you that the most important thing that you are doing as a child of God is living for Christ? It's the most important thing in your life. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We're bought through Jesus Christ, through His blood. And our life is to be a testimony for those around us. Now, you know that. And yet, so often, we get so caught up in the things of this life, and we get so caught up in what we're doing or what somebody else is doing that concerns us, that we don't stop to tune in to who God is and how God is at work within our own hearts and our own life. I believe that what James is telling us in our text today in verses 19 and 20 is the exact same thing that God has laid on Kevin's heart to share with us in our music tonight and in the whole spirit of where we are tonight. It's God at work, touching us and teaching us. Three things that God gives advice to us there in verse 19. And a lot of times when we hear that verse, we just sort of take it lightly. But it's so much deeper than just what's on the surface there. Not only did He choose to give us birth through the Word of Truth, but He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now, that's good advice for anybody, isn't it? It really is. But here's what God is saying to you. God is saying, tune in. God is saying to you and to me, tune in. God is saying to us, listen to what I have to say to you. Now, I want you to be very attentive as I share with you some things that I believe that God is wanting us to hear tonight. I believe that God wants us to come aside, be still, and know that He's God. God wants us to listen to Him. Now, here's a way that God has spoken to me. Sometimes God impresses on my heart, and He probably does on yours as well, "Jim, you talk too much. Jim, you talk too much. Look at your prayers when you are praying to God. Who monopolizes the conversation when you pray? Are you the one doing all the talking in your prayer?" If we're honest, most of the time, yes, we're doing most or all of the talking. God is saying to us, be quick to listen. Tune in to what God has to say. One reason we don't know so often what God's will and God's direction is because we're not listening to Him. The world out there has all its advice. And young people, I want to say to you in particular, listen for what God has to say. The crowd out there, your friends, the people in the schools, and don't take this and say that you don't have to listen in class, okay? But all of the advice that the world has to give to you cannot compare to what God wants to say to you and teach you and lead you in doing. Be quick to listen to God. It doesn't mean to listen to every voice that comes along. In fact, the book of Mark tells us to be very careful to what we listen to. But it does say to have an open heart and to have the focus of God in your mind and to listen as God speaks to you. Now you might say, well, how does God speak to me? Well, let me give you some ways that God speaks. God speaks to you through music like we've just experienced, where there's no need for us to be a slave to fear and to have fear in our life. We're a child of God. Our God is holy, and He's already won the victory, and we can walk in that holiness. God speaks to us through these songs of worship, and whether it's singing an old hymn like when we all get to heaven, or whether it's singing one of the newer contemporary songs, the message that's there. And you'll find that in most of the worship songs that we sing, they are many of them are taken strictly out of the Bible. It's God speaking to us. And we ought not to just be enjoying the singing the words. They ought to be touching our hearts. They ought to be changing our lives. They ought to be drawing us into that oneness with God, because it's God speaking. And I don't want to sound as an egotist or to sound vain in any way, but God also speaks through preaching. God calls people to preach. And I can say without any hesitation, and I can say it in all humility because I am undeserving, but God called me to preach. And God will speak through me, to you. And we need to listen and hear what God has to say to us. And I promise you, God steps on my toes and He speaks to me before He ever speaks to you. And you have a responsibility to listen. Here's something that came to my mind. And I'm saying this humbly, okay? You have every right to expect me to study and prepare and to bring a message to you coming from God. And I have every responsibility to make sure that my heart is right and that I have prayed up and that I have prepared right and that I am imparting the truth to you. You have every right to expect that of me. Let me also say that I have every right to expect you to listen to and to prepare to listen and to listen to what God has to say through me. Now, I'm not saying that to be vain or egotistical. I'm saying it because this is God's way, oftentimes, of speaking. And I am responsible to God for what I say to you. And you are responsible to God for hearing what God is saying to you. We need to learn to listen, to learn to tune in, because God is speaking through worship, through preaching, through His precious Word. How I love the Bible. How I love the Scripture. God is always teaching me, disciplining me, sometimes whipping me through His Word. And if you are a child of God, you ought to love the Word of God because it's God speaking to you. Every word of Scripture, all Scripture, is God breathed out to you. It's God speaking to you. It's not something that you give half an ear to. It's not something that you let go in one ear and out the other. It's something you meditate on. It's something you let get deep into the bowels of your mind. And you let God speak and teach. A lot of it is joy and fullness and great things that we need to hear. Some of it are things that we don't need or don't want to hear, but that we need to hear. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Spirit. Now, I've mentioned this a couple, three, 4 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when. But God often will speak to us through His Spirit. I can tell you from personal experience, there have been times when I started down a path and the Holy Spirit would convict me. Jim, don't go that way. Don't go there. And I would turn and go the other way. There have been times when I have failed and the Holy Spirit would convict my heart right then. And I would experience the guilt. And I would seek forgiveness. Listen, the Spirit speaks to you. Learn to listen to the Spirit of God. God says to us, tune in. Be quick to listen to what God has to say. Second, God says for us to tone down. He says for us to tone down. Look at that next phrase in verse 19. Again, he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Oh, me. Oh, me. How many of you have ever said something without thinking? Yeah. We all had to. And how many of you regret it after you said it and wish you had never said it? Uh-huh. Every one of us, yeah. Now what God is saying to us, be very careful as you speak and be careful about what you say. Because the words that you use, they cannot be taken back. And they can either do great good or they can do great harm to those who hear it. Be careful what you say. I've kind of preached on this a little bit this morning when I got on chasing a rabbit. But we need to be very careful as children of God what we say. And how we say it. Jesus warned against us speaking carelessly in Matthew 12:36. He says, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Now sometimes we may have good intentions. And sometimes we may get all wrapped up in what we're saying and not really think about what we're saying. And we may say something carelessly that will destroy the whole testimony of what we have been trying to portray and live. That word careless literally means unproductive in the Greek text. It means a word that does harm rather than good. It means speaks of a word that causes a person to stumble rather than to grow. And I want to say to you today, be very careful what you say and how you say it. Because even though you may be trying in your very best way to be a witness for Christ, you can run people away from Christ because you say the wrong thing carelessly or because you say it without tact and without love and without the leading of God upon your life. Be careful what you say. What's that little song about watch your little eyes, what you see, and watch your little mouth, what you say? Have you remember that one? You remember it in preschool. Yeah, Carol can sing it to you if you want her. Listen, it is very important for us as Christians. God says to us, be slow to speak. Be careful what you say. Understand that everything that comes out of your mouth, everything that comes out of your mouth as a child of God, either gives a testimony for Christ or it drives people from Christ. God's advice to His children and living the life, be quick to listen, to hear what God has to say. Be slow to speak. Be careful in how you speak because you are a child of God. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. And for some of you, there's going to be somebody in your that's going to cross your path in life. And their eternal destiny is going to be in your hands. And what you say to them and how you say to them, your witness before them is going to determine whether or not they go to heaven or they spend an eternity in hell. Because the Christ that they see in you or the Christ they don't see in you is going to influence them in the way that they're going to go. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And then comes that thing about anger. What does he say? Everyone should be slow to become angry. God says to tune in. God says to tone down. And then God says to torque up. Torque up. T-O-R-Q-U-E. Okay? Here's what I'm saying. God is saying to us, I believe, to be slow to anger. What He's saying to us is, you make sure your heart, you make sure your life is following the fruits of the Spirit. Torque up the sweetness, the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And if you do that, it will torque down or tone down or slow down the anger in your life. Now, let me just say this as well. All anger is not sin. Anger in and of itself is not sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians to be angry and sin not. The Bible tells us that anger has its place. You can look at Jesus. Jesus got angry. God gets angry at His children. Not really at the children themselves, let me correct that, but at the sin of His children. Jesus got angry in the temple. He cleaned out the temple. I would have loved to have seen that. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of the whip. But I would have loved to have seen that. Jesus got angry. It did, but in that anger, He never lost control. He never lost His temper. And the anger was never directed toward an individual, toward a person. It was always directed toward sin. Jesus hated sin. He loves the sinner. Folks, we are to hate the sin, and we are to love the sinner. And one reason, I want you to listen to me, one reason that you do not love the sinner is because you are not hating the sin. You're not hating the sin that you're committing. You're loving the sin and you're hating the sinner. You've got it backwards. We are to hate the sin because that sin nailed Jesus to the cross. That sin that I have committed nailed Jesus to the cross. You say the same thing. We're to hate the sin. And if you hate the sin, you're going to turn from that sin and you're going to forsake that sin and not go back to it. The problem with so many believers today is that you don't hate sin, even though it's so destructive. And when you hate the sin and you have the angry at the sin, then you can love the sinner. Because you see that that person is enslaved by that sin. That person is being destroyed by the sin. That person is in the very depths of misery because of the sin. And because you are a child of God, and because you are a follower of God, and because you have the mind of Christ within you, you're going to love the sinner and want to bring that sinner out of the sin that is destroying them and bring them into fellowship and life with Jesus. We need to torque up the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 will tell you about this fruits of the Spirit. But I can just put it in summing it up simply to say this. If you are following Christ, if you are seeking Christ, if you are listening to Christ, He is going to teach you and show you and direct you and enable you to live according to the fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience can go on and on. The long-suffering. He will enable you to accomplish in your life the fruits of the Spirit that will bring honor and glory to Jesus through your testimony. So God's advice to us, tune in. Listen to what God's saying to you in every way that He speaks. God wants conversation with you. Not a monologue from you. That makes sense. Listen to what God says. Tone down. Tone down in speaking. Be careful what you say. And then torque up the fruits of the Spirit. Let Jesus be seen in your life and through your life as you seek to follow Him. Now let me ask you, since Jesus came into your heart, that's a hymn by the way, but since Jesus came into your heart, do you see the difference in your life? Do you see the change that's in your life? I hope and I'm almost sure that you will say, yes, I see a change. I'm not the person I used to be. Now let me ask you this. Does your family, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your husband, your wife, do they see the change in your life? What about that schoolmate, those people you go to school with? Do they see the change in your life because you are a child of God? What about those in the workplace? Do they see the change in your life because you are a child of God? And if they don't, see any difference between you and the other people, the unbelievers out there, then God's advice to you is to listen to Him. Be careful about your testimony, your witness, to tone down, and then to torque up the fruits of the Spirit in your life. It all begins with that heart decision, doesn't it? I'm assuming most everybody in this room, I look over here, over us, and everybody in this room, as far as I know, is a child of God. Really, only you and God know that for sure. We've experienced a new birth. Our life either brings people to Christ or drives people from Christ. Now, let's make a difference. Let's make a difference. Let the light of Jesus shine through you. Let's live for Him. Would you make that commitment tonight? Our altar is open. We invite you to come. Let's stand together, and you step out and make your decision for Christ.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.